Women That Lead presents Our Leading Edge, featuring your host, Jenna Forster, Mastermind Executive Coach, inspiring women to lead with alignment, passion, and purpose through conversations that inspire. Stretch yourself to a new level. Learn, grow, expand. And now, here's your host, Jenna Forster.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Our Leading Edge. I hope everyone is having a fantastic Monday, and we are in the month of December, so I hope you're having a wonderful December and all that that means for you. So today, as you know from our last show, this month we're covering the topic of mindfulness, and I have another fantastic host with me today that I'm super excited to have this conversation with, Jessica Amos. And we're going to be talking about mindfulness, but we're going to put a different spin on it than we did in the last show. And we're really going to be speaking about mindfulness and finding ourselves and the connection between the two. Jessica is an expert at this. I love having this conversation with her because she's so inspiring to me. And she's really, really centered around this topic matter. So I'm going to introduce Jessica in just a minute, but I always like to let the audience know who we're talking with and what kind of background they bring and an idea of who they are before we start. So I'm going to start there. Jessica runs an organization called Stay With Yourself, and she's really an expert around mindfulness and that connection, as I said, between mindfulness and finding ourselves. She's a writer, and she's also a meditation teacher. And she really runs the show of Stay With Yourself, the practice of being who you are, where you are, which I think is so important because it's not about that future self that a lot of us, especially us coaches, can fall into. Jessica really brings the present moment into play. And through guided meditation and visualization, mindfulness practices, and really a various methods of self-compassion, Jessica teaches individuals how to foster the physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual wellness that can show up in their everyday lives when they connect in. You can access Jessica's teaching through her website. She gives a lot of information out. She has a tremendous amount of resources, so I love that you've offered that, Jessica. And when you go to her website, staywithyourself.com, you'll find access to things like she has an 8-week meditation course. She has one-on-one coaching packages. She has custom meditation consultations and meditation recordings that you can download. So you can really start wherever you're at and start to move towards the direction you're looking to do. And when Jessica does this, she's doing it for corporate and private retreats. So she really brings that duality to this. So Jessica, welcome to the show. I'm so happy that you've been able to chalk out the space to be with us for the next half hour.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, fantastic. So I want to dive right in and I want to talk about mindfulness. We heard last show an idea of mindfulness. I'd like to hear from you. When I say mindfulness, what is it that you would say about that word?
Yes. Well, it can mean something different to everybody because we're all so different and unique in that. But for me, mindfulness is just, it really is the practice of being who I am in the present moment and really embracing this present moment and all of it together, being aware of how connected I am to myself in this moment and everything around me, and just recognizing that the past really is, it's just kind of a figment of my imagination. I hold all of that with me in the present moment, and even the future, it hasn't happened yet. It's just kind of my expectation of what could happen. So the present moment and mindfulness really are the one and the same to me.
And I love what you said there, Jessica, because for me, I know there's a lot of time in my day that I'm always thinking about all of the other things that are either they have happened or they need to happen or I'm part of, whatever that looks like for me. And I find myself so distracted at times that I'm guaranteeing you that I'm not in the present moment all of the time. So I think that's such an important piece to this, is being in that present moment. And through the show, we'll talk about this a little bit more and how we get there and the idea of that. But I can relate to that because I find myself at times running from thing to thing. And really, how present am I in anything?
Right. Yeah, I think that we all share that.
Yeah,
that same dilemma. That's kind of the human condition. Yeah,
it is, and we are conditioned to respond or react. Actually, I think we live our lives in a reaction mode a lot of the times, and I'm a big proponent of responding versus reaction. So, this is why I brought the idea of mindfulness and meditation to the show this month, because this month can tend to be a little bit more adventurous for most of us. But I think it's so important to understand that. And in our conversation today, I'd like to move us into allowing our audience to understand what is the connection between mindfulness, so being present, and getting closer to ourselves or finding ourselves. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Sure. Yeah. I love talking about this stuff. Well, really, for me, the idea of finding ourselves, it's kind of a tricky statement, only because we are already found, if that makes sense. We're already here. We're present. We're in our bodies. We're here. We're not necessarily lost, though internally we can feel lost. So again, it comes back to mindfulness in the present moment and recognizing that we are completely contained in this moment. The past doesn't exist. The future doesn't exist. We are totally inside of our bodies, feeling the air around us, interacting with the people who are in front of us. All of that is a sense of finding ourselves just physically. And then when we can get ourselves there, we can start moving more mentally and emotionally into the present moment and feeling more connected to ourselves where we're at, as opposed to the idea of where we were or where we should be, which is, again, that kind of chasing after all the things in the past or the future that really haven't happened or that have happened and that without being totally present.
And a couple of things that are popping up for me. When I heard you say completely within our body, the word that popped up for me was safe. And I find that interesting. That's my projection on things, but it gave me a feeling of I am okay right in this moment, right now, exactly where I am in this present moment. And that allowed me to feel safe. And whether that's the right word or not for most people, but it gave a sense of, okay, I'm okay.
Right, yeah. And I think safe, that's such a good word for it. I try to use that word a lot very intentionally. When I hold retreats or I work with people, that's one of the first things I always say is, this is safe and you are safe. And you are safe. You are contained within yourself. And if you don't feel safe, even physically, you have the power to remove yourself or to get to a place where you feel safe. But you are contained in that way. Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah, and it, so many individuals, they feel, and I've even been in this place of, I've grown away from where I was, sort of that old self, and I'm moving towards a new direction, but I'm not really sure what that direction is. And so then we label it as feeling stuck. And that to me is about doing, right?
Yes.
If I'm feeling stuck, I'm having a need to do something about it. And instead, what I'm hearing from you is if we can step out of that action piece and move into this, the present wholeness being of ourselves, it can change things. Am I correct in that?
Yeah. That's exactly it. And even, so you use the word stuck and I tend to use the word, you know, lost. I feel like there's some of the same thing where there's this sense of we want to keep growing and moving and changing. It's just kind of our natural tendency. But then that does leave us feeling a little bit unmoored or out to sea with like, where exactly are we going? We're so used to planning and needing to know what to expect, and growth and even inward journey and finding ourselves doesn't necessarily lend itself to knowing what to expect all the time. So when we can ground ourselves and be present and feel safe and contained and whole and well and complete just within the present moment, it kind of eliminates that feeling of stuckness or lostness or doing, and we can just be.
And it can really shift things for us moment by moment is what I'm getting a sense of.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And it helps us move from moment to moment with a little more gentleness, I think, and openness without so much fear and anxiety behind the fact that we don't know what to expect, but we can move into the next thing still with that same sense of security.
Mm-hmm. And in my work, I'm working with brain science and change and behavior. And one of the things that I know is that most of our actions are taken throughout a day to reaffirm emotions from the past. And when that's why I think this is such an important subject matter. And it is, I think it is the key to allow people to move away from that and towards what they're looking to move towards. And it's really about choice. So I love that you're bringing this subject matter in, because if we're moving throughout our lives to reaffirm the past without even knowing that, then really, how are we ever going to create new? So can you speak to that a little bit about the opportunity of mindfulness?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I love that. I'm glad you brought it up. I will say, speaking for myself personally, one of the best things I ever heard several years ago in terms of mindfulness and brain science is that I am not stuck with like the neurological pathways that have been set, that I have the capacity to actually change the neurological connections within my brain and create new experiences, new understanding, and a more positive experience and understanding of my life and even my past, and carry that into the present moment and the future. So as in terms of mindfulness and living out of the past, it takes intention, and it actually does take work, and it's unseen work. I think that we tend to value like physical representation of the work that we are doing, but changing from operating out of the past and living in the present moment and creating a better future for ourselves that's not based on the past, it takes work. It actually takes a lot of intention, a lot of just moving a lot slower in life, and really paying attention to what comes up and questioning everything. I would say that questioning everything might be one of the key factors to kind of getting out of that past mindset.
And I love that, questioning everything. And what I'm hearing is that the idea, I love what you said about the physical proof of what we've done. And I think about how we tend to, how we're, at least in the society that I live in, and I think North America in general, we are trained, we're trained to, we create to-do lists. Mm-hmm. We really do want, and we connect to that physical proof of what we've accomplished in a day or in a moment. And I know for myself personally, there have been moments in my life where I am very, very frustrated by doing smaller, what I consider smaller things, watering the plants, doing the dishes, mm-hmm. folding the laundry, those things that we do to run our lives. But in the past, I have found myself very frustrated or even emotional in a frustration, anger place of I'm wasting time. I have things to do. Mm. So that's really interesting to me when we flip that on its head and start to say, well, by moving ourselves into the present moment, we are actually more able Is that ringing for you?
Yeah, actually, I love that you mentioned those like kind of menial, everyday nuisance type tasks that so many of us feel. I think so many people feel that way about watering the plants and doing the dishes and the things that we have to do to keep living. And that's where when you were talking about that, I thought, oh, wow, well, having the practice of gratitude is probably the number one practice for just entering into the present moment and being so grateful as you're watering your plants that you have these beautiful plants to be watering, or that you have eaten this meal and now you have these dishes to clean, and what a gift it is that your belly is full and that you have all of this stuff. I know from my personal experience, I've come really close to not having a lot of anything, and that has really made me very grateful for a car that runs, that gets me around town to pick my kids up from school, or any number of things. But just to be grateful for all of those little things that keep you alive and improve your quality of life, it does change when you put gratitude into that equation. And that's a part of mindfulness too, a huge part for me.
Mm-hmm. And when, as you said about the neurological connection between mindfulness and the idea of, you know, we call it plasticity, the idea that how our current neurological system, our brain, is wiring and firing at the current moment is very plastic in that it can change. It is not stuck. This is not, you know, that old saying of this is just the way it always is, or this is the way we've always done it. Those aren't true statements, because our body is meant to be on all levels very plastic, so that it can bend and flex and change. And I always speak about the tracks in the snow. When we have that new snowfall and we put our cross-country skis on and we start to make new tracks in the snow, and then the next day we go out and we put our skis on and we go on the same tracks and we keep moving in those same tracks. You do that over and over and over again. Those tracks in the snow become very solid.
Yes.
And it's easier to glide through them, and we can move faster and with more ease. It's the same thing that happens to us neurologically. So when we bring in this idea of mindfulness, of slowing down and being present in the moment, not allowing the past or the future to run us, because the past is based on emotional need and the future doesn't exist, then we can start making new tracks very deliberately.
Yes. Yeah, I love that. It actually really kind of wipes the slate clean, the present moment does. And you can choose which direction you want to go in that pure white new snowfall. You can just kind of say that way and keep going that way. And it's generally pretty good.
Yeah, and I get this visual. I'm a very visual person, if you haven't picked up on that already. I get this visual of creating space, right? In that moment, we now have choice. Mm-hmm. And if we're not living in the past or the future, we have more space to be able to choose.
Yes, exactly.
I love that. So let's tie in the idea of meditation into this.
Okay. Yeah.
So what... mindfulness, we're talking about being present in the present moment, and the idea of gratitude, the idea of really being in it, right? We're washing the dishes. This is what we're doing right now, and we're grateful for the ability to, for, you know, the dishes, for the soap, for all of those things. Can you speak about meditation and how meditation fits into all of this?
Sure. Yeah. I will say that I'm a pretty eclectic I'm pretty eclectic in my teachings, as in my meditation teachings, and as someone who meditates. If it's walking meditation, if it's going to yoga, if it's sitting meditation, if it's Vipassana, if it's transcendental, whatever it is, if it could be remotely helpful to helping even one person be in the present moment, I will use it. And so I believe that meditation can be found in every moment of every day. And each of us are so different in our needs. And even those neurological pathways, those tracks that we've set, that we don't exactly know what form of meditation it will take to kind of help us take a new path through that freshly fallen snow, which I love that visual. So for me, I am extremely visual as well. And guided meditation was kind of my entry into meditation. I wanted to meditate. I knew it was good for me. I wanted to try it. But like most people, I was kind of perfectionistic in it. I wanted to be good at it. And that's not what meditation is about. And so I try to be a bridge between people's perfectionistic tendencies when it comes to meditation, which isn't about perfection, and their need for internal peace and stillness and just that sense of centering. So I use visualization as kind of my number one component to meditation. The reason for that being, again, because when we see something, when we visualize something, it engages our mind and our body in a really, really clear way. When we even access memories from the past and we bring them into our visualization and we work with them in that way, it can create healing and safe space and all of that stuff. Our brains are really amazing in that way. But I also think that meditation, just you can meditate when you're sitting at a stoplight. Just sit there and be aware of the light and the sound and the people around you and all of that, taking in the present moment. That is meditation. Runners, meditators. Swimmers are meditators. Artists who just go into their studio and record their music or dance or paint or whatever they do, that is a form of meditation. Gardeners, meditation, all of that stuff. It's accessible all the time.
I love that. And I love your eclectic nature, because really, why on earth would we all want to be alike?
True.
And I like that you bring, one of the things that I really love about you is that you bring the simplicity of the moment into this meditation. So a lot of us, myself included, and I completely agree with the perfectionistic nature. If I couldn't sit down and meditate for 20 minutes without any distractions and with my mind completely clear, then I certainly wasn't doing it right.
Right.
Exactly. And I think a lot of us fall into that. Mm-hmm. But we can have this ability to meditate or focus on what we're currently doing at any moment. And it doesn't have to be, it can be slotting out a period of time and sitting down cross-legged and closing out the world and having space. That's wonderful. But it can also show up in a lot of different ways. And I think that's such an important message, because if I think about individuals that may be listening to this call and their lives, it may be a frustrating conversation to listen to because they don't have time to meditate. And the ability to do it in whatever we are currently doing is so very powerful.
Right. Yeah. And that's what's important to me. I don't really care how you meditate. I do like to sit in the morning for 20 minutes quietly. I don't always do that, but I enjoy it. Not everybody, that's not meant for everybody. So it's just important that whatever you need, whatever brings you more peace, whatever makes you feel more connected to yourself, do that. And heap on the self-compassion and the gentleness and get rid of all that judgment and just be. I mean, that's really the point. It's just be. Without all of that, the constraint of everything else, you know?
Yeah, and I really like that, because I think that a lot of us struggle. I think it's one of the big struggles of human nature is this idea of not being good enough. And when we can incorporate what you're speaking about into our world, we can step outside of that and really engage in life from a different level.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And that's, again, I mean, the compassion and the gentleness in all of that as much as the safety is important. So is the self-compassion and the being kind to yourself in all of that. Because we have enough, again, like you said, the conditioning. We've been conditioned to not, you know, to either be too much or not enough, but whatever it is, we're not okay as we are. And so I like to use meditation as a pathway, a gateway into the enoughness of who you are.
Mm-hmm. And I know in the last 5 minutes or so we have together, I know you do a lot of work around individual stories. Mm. And so can you speak to that a little bit, the importance of your story?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so actually Stay With Yourself started out as just a storytelling co-op. I invited people to share their stories, mostly relational stories or stories of transformation, kind of coming through something difficult and coming out the other side. And the reason for that is I have found that as I have gotten older and I've moved out into the world and I've met all these various people, it's the people who are willing to talk about some of the hard stuff or the real stuff, not in a sense of kind of bitterness over their past, but who can just kind of acknowledge the truth of that life has gone in a direction that maybe wasn't expected, or have experienced some painful things, or have done some things that have caused pain. It has given me permission to acknowledge what has happened to me in my life and heal from it. I believe that stories are incredibly healing, in that if we are willing to speak the truth, tell our stories, it really gives other people permission to tell theirs. And most importantly, it creates empathy and it lets others know that they're not alone. And that's really number one. Like, we're not alone. And so when we tell our stories, that is exactly what we are offering other people, is the truth that we're not alone.
It gives me goosebumps. And I know for me, the reason I wanted to ask you about that is I think that permission piece is so important. And giving ourselves permission, not only for being able to be mindful, and finding those moments to be mindful. I think there is a piece about permission around that. I'm not sure that a lot of us give ourselves permission because we should be doing something else,
right?
In our mind, which is based on the past or projected future. Mm-hmm. And the other piece, you know, what I hear from you, when we talk about the power of someone's story, I know for me personally, mindfulness and meditation was what allowed me to be able to connect with my story. And it is what allowed me to get to the place where I was willing, that permission piece, and I gave myself permission to share my story. And once I was able to do that, my life changed in such a drastic, positively drastic way.
Yeah.
Not in a negative way. Mm-hmm. But I just became a different person. And and some of those messages of you are enough, and you are not alone. And I think that there's a great connection, and I love that you do this work, between mindfulness and our story, and this whole idea of empathy and connection that comes with that.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's really all the same to me.
Yeah. So it's beautiful, beautiful. So I think what you give out to this world is so incredibly valuable, and I thank you for that. Mm. And can you let the listeners know how to get in touch with you, find out more information, maybe get some of your resources so that they can move forward?
Definitely. Yes. Yeah. So you can, the best, easiest way is to access my website, which is staywithyourself.com. On my website, you will find links to an 8-week meditation course. Again, it is a toolbox, a smorgasbord of different meditation techniques that you can use and employ in that way. I have meditations that you can download and listen to, guided meditations for various things you might want help dealing with. I also do consultations for individual custom meditations, so we can have a little session, and then I will send you a guided meditation based on your needs at the moment. I also have a lot of free resources on my site. a huge book list of helpful resources and articles, and you can find all the stories I talked about that people contributed to the website and are still contributing. You can find those there. What else? Yeah, it's just, it's full, it's chock full of stuff. I really want it to be an online oasis, a place for you to just come and be and breathe and take whatever you need and hopefully find it really helpful on your journey.
Yeah, I know I did. So it's a beautiful site and it's the resources are just stunning. So thank you for that. Jessica, thank you for coming on the show and spending some time with me and having this very valuable conversation. I hope the listeners were able to glean from it what they needed. And thank you. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. It was so wonderful. You are fabulous.
Yeah, thank you. All right, everyone. Well, thank you for joining Jessica and myself, and we will see you next time as we speak about the anatomy of care. Have a great rest of your day. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining Jenna on today's program, Women That Lead, Our Leading Edge. For more information regarding today's show or on any of the programs Women That Lead offers, please visit www.womenthatlead.com. Until next time, lead with alignment, passion, and purpose.